Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of the Gospel Herald, a ministry of the Lancaster Seventh-day Adventist Church. We'd like to extend an invitation to worship with us each Sabbath morning. Our Sabbath school and Bible study begins at about 9:30, and worship service begins at about 11. Everyone is welcome. We're located right in the center of the little town of Lancaster, and we look forward to having you worship and study with us. We've also begun a special study of the Book of Revelation. We're just getting started with that series of studies, so don't worry if you've missed a little bit. We'll be happy to do a brief review to catch you up on the studies so far. This special series of studies follows immediately after our worship service, so come on out and study God's Word with us. We began this broadcast quoting from the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Romans, reading from chapter 10, verse 17. Let's read that again. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God is the only means of faith. Where there is no Word of God, there cannot be any faith. And where the Word of God is, faith is entire dependence upon that Word for the accomplishment of what that Word says. From this truth, it is perfectly plain that in order for anyone to ask in faith, he must first of all be sure that he has the Word of God for what he asks. Having the Word of God for what he asks, he, like David, can find it in his heart to pray with perfect confidence. That perfect confidence that God will answer your prayer is only in perfect faith. The one who prays in faith knows that he is asking according to the will of God, for he knows that he has the plain Word of God for it. He knows that God hears him, and knowing that God hears him, he knows that he has the thing for which he has asked, because the sole basis of his hope for what he has asked is the Word which has spoken it, and which is the sole basis of his asking. He knows the Word of God, and knowing the Word of God, he then knows the will of God. Many people pray without knowing the Word of God, and without knowing the Word of God, they don't know the will of God. A few years ago, I was talking with someone about prayer. They were complaining that there were times when they did not feel that their prayers were going any higher than ceiling, and that their prayers were useless. The problem was not in their prayers. The problem was in the fact that they did not know the Word or will of God. Their prayers were more like those heathen we read about in Matthew 6:7 who used vain repetitions, thinking that their many words would somehow turn God's ear to them. The Lord tells us to pray in faith. That means we should pray knowing both the Word and will of God. He has made provision for steady, strong, and continuous growth of faith. God does not want anybody to move with uncertainty. He has given His Word and thoroughly furnished everyone unto all good works and has given all things that pertain to life and godliness. Anyone who seeks in the Word of God the things that He has given us and asks according to the plainly expressed will of God knows that his prayer is heard and that he has the thing for which he has prayed. When prayers are prayed like that, life will be filled with the direct gifts of God, and faith will be not only strong, but will be ever increasing in strength. Many pray the prayer of the disciples, "Lord, increase our faith." This is well and good, yet along with this, it must never be forgotten that faith comes only by the Word of God. Therefore, as certainly as your faith shall be increased, it can be increased only by there being in you an increase in the Word of God. And the only way that there can be in you an increase in the Word of God is by your reading, listening to, and obeying that Word. Your prayers will then be directed to the Lord for the thing which that Word says, depending entirely upon that Word for that thing, and thanking Him that you have received it. It is only then that the Word is received by you and lives in you. Lord, increase our faith. Yet at the same time, we must remember that we are to build ourselves up on our most holy faith. This is how to exercise faith. Faith can be exercised only on the Word of God, for where there is no Word of God, there cannot be any faith. We are told in Galatians 3:11 that the just shall live by faith. There are many who believe that faith was not introduced to the Bible until New Testament times. That is simply not the truth, for Paul, here in his letter to the Galatians, is quoting from the Old Testament in Habakkuk 2:4. Who are the just? They are those who live by faith, because men are justified only by faith. It's true, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, yet we are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We read about that in Romans 3, verse 24. And in Romans 5:1 we read that we have been justified by faith, and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is the entire dependence on the Word of God, that that Word will accomplish what that Word says. Isaiah 55:11 tells us that God's Word will accomplish just what He pleases. To be justified by faith, then, is to be justified by entire dependence upon the Word of God. The just are those who know the Word of God, who rightly divide the Word of God, and who depend on the Word of God. We become just by faith. That being the case, we must also live by faith. The just man lives in precisely the same way that he becomes just, by knowing and depending on the Word of God. This is exactly what Jesus said, "Men shall live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." When Jesus said that, he was simply saying that men shall live by faith. There is no other way to live except by faith, which is simply living by the Word of God. Without faith, without the Word of God, men only die. Without the Word of God, everything dies. You will remember that in the beginning, everything came into being by the Word of God. The Word of God is the origin and life of everything, for He spake, and it was. Everything is dependent upon the Word of God for existence. In the case of man, and only in the case of man, has God given the wonderful gift of choice as to whether they will live or die. This gift of choice opens the door of faith. When a man chooses to live by the Word of God, which is the only means of life, faith, entire dependence upon the Word of God, is the way by which he lays hold on the only means of life. I've heard some say that man has no choice, that God's pre-election determines your eternal destiny. If that were really true, there would be no need for faith, and the Bible, the entire Bible, could be discarded as a fable, for it is a book of faith. In the book of Romans, chapter 14, verse 22, we are asked this question, "Hast thou faith?" We cannot have a healthy Christian experience. We cannot obey the gospel unto salvation until the science of faith is better understood and until more faith is exercised. Have the faith of God. When Jesus comes the second time, which we believe to be just upon us, we see a group of people who are keeping the faith of Jesus. That's Revelation 14:12. And by faith, right there in the same verse, we see them doing something else as well, keeping the commandments of God. Yes, friends, God's Word is important to them. They live by the Word of God. They completely depend upon the Word of God, expecting that Word to do what the Word itself says. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith. You can read about that in Romans 1:17. With that being true, can there be any righteousness that comes without faith? No, of course not. The righteousness of God produces righteousness in people who choose to live by His Word. In Romans 3:25, we are told that God hath set forth Christ to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. The Word of God has been spoken upon which there can be complete dependence. There is righteousness, right doing, right living, that can be received by faith. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But He doesn't stop there. He cleanses us from unrighteousness. That's 1 John 1:9. When the Lord forgives sins, He gives for sin. He gives righteousness for sin. Since righteousness comes only from the Lord, it follows that the only righteousness that God gives, or can give, is the righteousness of God. What an exchange! God gives us righteousness when we choose to give Him our sin. And it's free, entirely free. Don't you want that? God's free gift has already been given to all people. Sadly, most of us will throw that gift of righteousness and salvation from sin away. Everyone, whoever asks God for forgiveness for sin, in that very thing asks God to give him righteousness for sin, to perform that wonderful exchange. It is in God's Word that we should be free from sin. It is His will that we should be free from sin. And when we ask anything in prayer that is according to God's Word and will, believing and depending upon that Word to do what it says, we can know that we have been forgiven. For faith is entire dependence upon that Word for what that Word speaks. And that Word speaks forgiveness. Thus, righteousness is altogether of faith. Those we saw in Revelation 14 who are living by faith, who are keeping the commandments of God by faith, are not legalists. They are keeping the Ten Commandments, the standard of righteousness, including the seventh-day Sabbath, by the Word of God, by the faith of Jesus. In the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7:8, Jesus Himself tells us that everyone that asketh, receiveth. You may have asked the Lord many times to forgive your sins, but when you do that and ask the Lord to give for your sins, to give you righteousness in exchange for your sin, do you really want it? Do you really want His righteousness in exchange for your sin? Or are your prayers vain repetitions? God gives His righteousness in exchange for sin. He does forgive sin. He gives for your sin when you ask Him. He says He does, and He does. He is faithful. That is, He will never fail. And He is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The only thing He gives for sins is His righteousness. Instead of denying the righteousness of God for which you pray and which He freely gives, thank Him for the righteousness and live like a righteous being. Righteousness by faith is just as plain and simple as asking God for forgiveness for sin. To believe that righteousness is given in exchange for your sin, when you ask forgiveness and thankfully receive that righteousness as a gift from God, that is what it is to exercise faith. Yet how true it is that we suffer much trouble and grief because of our unbelief and our ignorance of how to exercise faith. We have read from the book of Romans the Apostle Paul's piercing question, "Hast thou faith?" And in Revelation 14:12, caught a glimpse of that group of people who have chosen to follow the Lamb wherever He goes. We have seen that they are keeping the faith of Jesus, believing the Word of God only, and expecting that Word to do just what the Word says. Stay tuned to these broadcasts of the Gospel Herald. We're going to be looking at God's act of creation. Is there any truth in the concept of intelligent design that we've been hearing so much about? Should it be taught in our public schools, or is there something more fundamental, something related and tied so closely to the gospel that God's Word, God's creative Word, must be seen for what it really is? Which are you, a creationist or an evolutionist? Won't you join us each Sabbath morning for Bible study and worship? Our Bible study program, Sabbath School, begins at about 9:30 each Saturday morning, and our worship service begins at about 11. And don't forget that special study on the book of Revelation immediately following the church worship service.